We're going to use this to start off with today, to take a few thoughts to lead into what we'd like to present to you today from the Word of God. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. We are living in a time where these passages are becoming more and more the reality of the day.
Amen.
And we are living in a time of great evil and immorality. We're living in a time of, well, the latter days. We can read in 2 Timothy 3 through the first part of that chapter and just see the day and age in which we live. Perilous time, evil days, wickedness. We're often, as pastors, we're very taken with rebuking and reproving and upbraiding, and many times it's so necessary because of the day in which we live, because of the things that are often in our members' lives and things that we have to deal with. But I think we need to be careful lest we get so tied up in our reproving and rebuking that we don't share with our people, with our churches, how thankful we are for them. I've heard many sermons at conferences on thankfulness, but I don't believe I've ever heard one that particularly deals with this thought that I would like to share with you today and would like to show to you from the ministry of the Apostle Paul, how thankful he was and how he presented and how he shared that thankfulness to those whom he dealt with and those whom he ministered unto. No matter what their problems were, no matter how terrible and how much reproving they needed, and how oftentimes he had to write just point blank and just spell it out for them where they were wrong and where they were doing evil and where they ought to repent and get right with God. But yet he never failed to show them and to share with them that he thanked God for them. Let's start with the book of Romans chapter 1 first of all. Romans chapter 1. Now we today in our churches, I'm sure all of us have some members that aren't doing like we'd like to see them do, aren't living like they ought to for the Lord. But we need to be careful that we do not forget to thank God for them. In verse 7 it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, I have pastored some churches in the last few years, and pastoring a church now in Willow Hill. There's times when, as a pastor, you think you have some pretty awesome problems. But if there was ever a church that a man would be reluctant to be called to, it'd be the Church of Corinth. I mean, they had problem upon problem. I mean, they had some terrible problems. They had some great wickedness. And things that, well, that Paul just had to tell them. Look, you need to change. You need to repent. But still in all, notice how he begins with them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, if there was ever a church that a man had to deal with that he could take cause to complain about and grumble about and maybe to share with some other preacher brethren that, you know, these folks just aren't right. I mean, they're just rebellious and stiff-necked and just not doing what they ought to be doing. But yet Paul starts off here, I thank God for you. I thank God for the grace He's bestowed upon you. I thank God for that which is given you by Jesus Christ. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 1, another passage of Scripture. Ephesians 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, Paul not only felt this for this church at Ephesus. He told them he felt it. He shared it with them. And I believe it meant a great deal to the people at Ephesus. To know that they're... that the one that ministered unto them and the one that instructed them in the ways of God, that he loved them and he thanked God for them, each and every one of them. There's so much negativism in our world today. There's so many things that are discouraging and that are disappointing, that are just downright heart-shaking for a child of God, and especially those that have to go out in the workplace every day and have to work along some of the most defiled and wicked people there are in the world. And it means a lot to them when the man of God, who is their pastor, can stand before them and honestly reveal to them and share with them, you know, I thank God for y'all.
Amen.
We don't realize many times what an encouragement that is to our churches, and how much we ought to share that with them to encourage.
Amen.
Look with me in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, another passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. If you've noticed here what we're doing, we're following a pattern of the Apostle Paul in dealing with the various churches that he dealt with. And again, I say, I don't believe in any sense of the word that these were just common words, that these were just words said as, you know, just a way of introduction. I believe Paul meant these words with all his heart.
Amen.
I believe he was totally sincere when he said this to each and every church that he wrote to here, and that God inspired of him to write to. Verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Making request. When we're thankful for the people that God's given us to pastor, we can make requests for them with joy.
Amen.
We ought to get back to that maybe a little more than we do. Let's look in Colossians chapter 1, another passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. We give thanks to God for you all, for your love and care of us, and for your concern. I like especially how Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and how he got specific about some things he was thankful for. Let's turn here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all. It wasn't just something that, you know, every now and then when the church, you know, did just what he wanted them to do, or every now and then, you know, when things were just really going great and they were on the mountaintop. He said he thanked God for them all the time. Now you look at the churches he dealt with, and they were far from being perfect churches. They were far from being trouble-free churches. They were far from being churches that were just exactly what the Apostle Paul thought they ought to be in their labor for the Lord. But yet he says, I thank God for you always. All the time. Not just when we're on the spiritual mountaintop, but also when there's troubled times and there may be some dissension or maybe some disagreements or maybe some troubled waters. He still thanked God for them always. But notice how he gets specific here in the next verse. It says, remembering without ceasing, one, your work of faith. There's been times in my ministry that the faithful working of a member of my church has been one of the greatest encouragement and blessings to me and really helped me keep on keeping on. When I honestly felt like just saying, you know, let's forget this. Let's just do something different. For your labor of love. I'm so thankful for folks that I've known in churches that have honestly just took me in and loved me. Amen. Some that maybe couldn't understand me. Some that maybe didn't necessarily agree with all the doctrine and all the biblical teachings that I brought forth. But they loved me. Stood by me. And stood by the Lord and lived for the Lord because they loved him. Cause to be thankful. Notice verse, the next part of this verse, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Patience of hope. You know, if there's anything that folks need today, is there anything that pastors need today, it's patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have church members and folks that God has blessed you to pastor, and they have this, and they share it with people, and they share it with you. What an encouragement. What a blessing. What a thing to be thankful for. The patience of hope. You know, Paul wrote to the church at those in Hebrews, and I believe the Apostle Paul was the one that wrote Hebrews. There's some question about that. But he wrote, he says, brethren, you have need of patience. That after you've labored, that after you've done what God wanted you to do, you have need of patience that you'd receive the promise, that you'd receive the reward.
Amen.
And we live in that type of day to day. With the falling away that we seemingly have, you know, many times a set of additions, you have subtractions in the Lord's work, you know. And very seldom do you ever see the multiplying nowadays, like you read about there in the book of Acts where the Lord multiplied his work. And it could be awful discouraging in some ways. But those that you labor with, those that you work with, those that God has blessed you to minister unto, that have just that consistent, perpetual patience of hope. Just, you know, they're there service after service, time after time. When you have a prayer time, they're there. When you have a work day, they're there. You know, just, and they may not be the richest folks of the church. They may not actually, as far as being able to contribute and do the most, they may not have the talents or, but just that patience of hope that they exhibit day in and day out.
Amen.
What a cause for thanksgiving.
Amen.
What a cause to thank God. And Paul, I believe he sincerely, from the depths of his heart, was sincere in what he said here. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and follows this up in 2 Thessalonians when he writes to them again. Let's turn over here, 2 Thessalonians. Verse 3. Says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Now, notice how he put this. It wasn't something that he just felt like doing. It wasn't something that, you know, that, like I said, when everything was going just right that he did. He said he was bound to be thankful for them. You know, we today as pastors, I'm speaking primarily to pastors today, however few or however many people that God has given us to pastor, we are bound by God to thank Him for them.
Amen.
And to be thankful
Amen,
for them.
Brother.
And to share that thankfulness with them.
That's right.
Paul says, I'm bound. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, as it's right, as we should do. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all aboundeth, or every one of toward each other aboundeth. Look in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Uses the same terminology, same language. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Today, as pastors of the Lord's church, Lord's churches, the folks that are members, they fall into the same category here at the church at Thessalonica did.
Amen.
We're bound to give thanks to you because you've been beloved of the Lord, because He's chosen you from the beginning unto salvation, and chosen them not only to salvation, but to sanctification through the Spirit and the belief of the truth. And we today, our folks, how many, however numbered we have to pastor unto, they are under the same calling, under the same working of the Lord as the church of Thessalonica. And we're bound to be thankful for them and to share that thankfulness. The one thing I love about the Apostle Paul, he wasn't afraid to show his emotions. He wasn't afraid to open up and share his love and thankfulness for them. We have too much of this macho nonsense going on in our world today, where men aren't allowed to, you know, shed a tear, and men aren't allowed to show any emotion, and men aren't supposed to be allowed to from the heart bubble up and bubble over and just say, boy, I love you. Thank you. Thank God for you. But we need to get back to that. I think it'll be a blessing and encouragement to the people we pastor to get back to that.
Amen, brother.
I mean, we can reprove and we can rebuke, and oftentimes it's necessary. It is needed. And with the world in which we live in, there's much to reprove. But let us not be so eaten up with rebuking and upbraiding that we can honestly share with our people.
Amen.
Our thankfulness to God for them.
Amen.
And thankfulness to God for their love and care of us. And how oftentimes, even with our own infirmities, how they love us in spite of ourselves sometimes, you know. Verse 13, there it goes on. It says, it doesn't stop there. Verse 14, it says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to work with today. We're working towards the glory and obtaining the glory of being with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, of sitting there at the right hand of God with the Lord Jesus Christ, of ruling and reigning with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we go being thankful and sharing our thankfulness with them, will make the way a lot sweeter.
Amen.
Make the way a lot more blessed. You know, look with me in Hebrews chapter 13 at a passage of scripture. Let's notice, you know, we talk about the sacrifice of praise, but what is praise? Hebrews 13, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city. And if there ever was a people, there ever was folks in this world that can say that, it's pastors. So many times in the course of God's will and God working his way, pastors don't stay in places for all their lives. You know, God will move them here or move them there. God will make them missionaries and send them to the far reaches of the world or maybe around our own country. But we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. We can finally put roots down in a place that counts, the New Jerusalem, and then we won't have to worry about moving.
Amen.
You know, nobody's going to move us out.
Amen.
But notice what verse 15 says. It says, by him, therefore, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he is to us, and how he's sacrificed himself for us, and how we go forth for him. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What is this sacrifice of praise? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name.
Amen.
And part of that thankfulness unto the name of God is being thankful for the people of God that he's given us to minister unto.
Amen.
That he's given us to pastor.
Amen.
And he's given us to lead in the ways of God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We ought never have the idea that if we show our folks that we love them and that we how much we appreciate them and how thankful we're all for them, you know, we ought not to have the idea, well, then they're not going to do for us like they've been doing, you know. That's not right. If we show them how we love them, we show them how thankful to God we are for them, show them how thankful we are for their faith and their love and their patience, I believe God will even work it so that we'll even have a better relationship than we ever had with them.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. Some of the folks in churches that I've pastored that you would terminize, that you would put in the category of problem people, the end result of that has been really a great blessing, because it's often those folks that spur a pastor to study, that spur a pastor to pray, that spur a pastor to get close to God so he can deal with them. And many times, many different subjects I've preached on before, and folks that just, you know, most of the folks will just take it, eat it up, you know, slap you on the back, shake your hand. But it's those folks, oh, preacher, I doubt that. you know, or I don't know if I agree necessarily agree with that. You know, we have to have a talk about that sometime. And then when you have to talk with them, what do? Before you talk with them, you go and you study and you pray and you dig into that like you never dug into it before. And so a lot of times them problem people are the ones that really are blessings to us and causing us to study and get closer to God in ways that we wouldn't otherwise. Because it's just nature. You know, if everybody disagrees with you, you have a tendency just to, you know, go along and preach what, you know, you believe without really having to do a real expose or really getting down and digging it to where you can explain it just point by point, just minutely, you know. So we need to thank God for even those that sometimes keep us awake at night. Sometimes wake you up in the middle of the night. I'm sure all of you pastors have woken up sometime and the first thought is, you know, it's not that the house is on fire. It's not that, you know, your kids are all right. You know, it's not that, you know, the dog or the cat ain't loose or something. It's that, I wonder what Brother So-and-so is doing right now. You know, I see this by the look on your faces. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But I tell you what, many times it's those folks that the ultimate end is the greater blessing to us. And we need to even in their rebellion, thank God for them, that we have the opportunity to deal with them, and that by the grace of God, one day see them living right and doing right and following the Lord. We want to close here, and to sum up what I've been trying to say, that despite what the times seem to show, despite the discouragements of many times folks falling away instead of standing true, and many times the multitude of things that need reproving and rebuking, let us be thankful, first of all, that God saved us. Amen. And that He's called us to preach. I still believe that pastoring is the greatest, most honored, privileged position that a man can be in.
Amen.
And many times we get, in the course of time, we might get discouraged and we might forget it. But I tell you what, it's better to pastor a church of the Lord Jesus Christ than be president of the United States.
Amen.
And our position is much more enduring, because what the president does, he's got 8 years to do whatever he's or 4 years if he's just a one-term president, to do whatever he's going to do. And he might leave his mark on the world, but we leave our mark on eternity. Are in folks' lives forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
As a pastor of one of the Lord's churches. So let us thank God that we have the privilege to pastor and to deal with people. Let us be thankful for the church that God's given us to pastor.
Amen.
It's easy to get discouraged in church work when folks will, you know, look you right in the eye and say, "Preacher, I know what you preach is right. I know that what the Bible says is just what you're telling me, but I'm going to go and do as I please anyway." And that's what a lot of folks are doing nowadays. The Bible just don't mean a whole lot to folks, and the sad thing, it don't mean a whole lot to church folks many times.
Amen.
But yet we are bound to be thankful for the churches God's given us to pastor.
Amen. Amen.
Because God's called them. However backslidden or however rebellious they might seem at times, God has called them to be saved, and He's called them to be sanctified, and that's why we're here. That's why we preach. That's why we minister. If it wasn't God's will to sanctify His people, then they wouldn't need preachers. He'd just save them, and then, you know, that'd be it. He'd just let them go, do whatever they want to do. But God's given us a ministry of sanctification, and we are bound to be thankful for them. And then let us share it with them. Let us not be afraid to stand before our people, to stand before our churches, and from the heart tell them, "You know, I thank God for y'all. I thank God that He's allowed me and He's called me to be your pastor."
Amen.
I think you'd be surprised at the results. And I think you'd be blessed at the results. And I want to close with this thought. You that are church members here today, if you have a pastor that'll stand and preach the Word of God, thank God for him. Because the Bible says in Timothy, he's worthy of double honor. Worthy of double honor, those that labor in the Word. If you got a pastor today, in all this mess that we live in, and all the rebellion, and all the falsehood, and all the deception, and all the falling away from God's Word, if you have a pastor that'll preach to you the Word of God and will reprove you when you need reproving and stuff, thank God for them. You ought to, because there's not that many today, honestly, in all the church world. There aren't that many. May God bless you all.
Amen.